The group Mothers Against Drunk Driving, or MAD, gave Wisconsin 2 out of 5 stars in its recent campaign to eliminate drunk driving 2014 report to the nation. The only states that got a lower rating were Montana and Rhode Island.
The group is pushing legislation that would require everyone convicted of drunk driving to get an ignition lock, a device that won't allow your car to start unless you've blown into the tube with a legal blood alcohol level.
Here to talk about that legislation and other bills that could reduce drunk driving in Wisconsin is Frank Harris. He's the state legislative affairs manager for MAD. Frank, welcome back to Central Time.
Oh, well, thank you.
So why did MAD give Wisconsin only 2 out of 5 stars? This is essentially a failing grade for the drunk driving prevention here in the state.
Well, MAD gave Wisconsin this rating because currently Wisconsin is not doing enough to stop drunk driving. Now, Wisconsin did receive a star for having a child endangerment law, which allows prosecutors to charge drunk drivers who drive drunk of a child passenger in a vehicle with an extra penalty. Wisconsin also received a star for having what's called an administrative license revocation law, which allows law enforcement to immediately seize somebody's license upon a suspected OWI arrest. Now, where Wisconsin is lacking would be really on the two critical areas that are proven to stop drunk driving and deter drunk driving, and that is the legalizing the option of sobriety checkpoints. Wisconsin's one of only 12 states that do not allow local law enforcement the option to conduct sobriety checkpoints, which are about as much of a constitutional inconvenience as a red light to a sober driver. The one push that we're really making for in Wisconsin is another star, which Wisconsin lacks, and that is the use of what's called an ignition interlock device for anybody convicted of drunk driving with an illegal blood alcohol level of 0.08 or greater. And currently there's legislation out in the Wisconsin State Assembly, Assembly Bill 738 by Representative Richards, that would require the use of interlocks for all convicted drunk drivers, and we also expect some other legislation to be introduced soon as well on this. And just the final area where Wisconsin could improve and where there is a legislative fix out there is the issue of refusals. Currently in Wisconsin, any first-time arrested drunk driver who is suspected of drunk driving, they can refuse a chemical test, typically, unless if they killed or injured somebody or they have a child passenger in their vehicle. And these offenders can refuse a test, and there is nothing law enforcement can do to compel somebody to give a blood or alcohol test.
Okay,
and this is a result. Yep.
I was going to say, you've highlighted three areas there where Wisconsin, yeah, you feel, needs to step it up from a legislative perspective. How does Wisconsin look compared to the rest of the nation on those topics you just pointed out?
Well, again, currently there's 20 states that require interlocks for all convicted drunk drivers, including Illinois. There's 38 states that legalize the option of sobriety checkpoints. And there's over 30 states that allow for no refusal activities. So, and these are three simple legislative measures, or at least two of them are pretty simple legislative measures that lawmakers can take to better stop drunk driving in an effective way to stop drunk driving.
Now, against some of the arguments against what you've been talking about in terms of the ignition interlock, there are critics who say that they aren't always that effective, that there are ways to get around them. And, you know, so why put something into place when you're not sure that it's going to do the job? And as you talked about, there are constitutional questions about the checkpoints. And I wonder what you would say to those arguments.
Well, what we say regarding ignition interlocks is, well, it's not a silver bullet, but it is one of the most effective countermeasures out there for convicted drunk drivers. And just like with any penalty, there's ways to get around it. But an interlock, if it is installed on a convicted drunk driver's vehicle, is proven to reduce that offender's likelihood to reoffend by 67%, according to studies by CDC. And that's why it's important to have a comprehensive bill that makes sure that once an offender's on an interlock, that they're on the device, and they only can earn their way off with the last couple months of violation freeze. And an interlock, it also currently Wisconsin utilizes ignition interlocks for all refusals, repeat offenses, and first offenses with a 0.15 blood alcohol level. And currently, interlocked offenders in Wisconsin have to submit every 30 days, they have to bring their device in to get service. So if there's a violation, that information is available. But Matt believes that overall there should be, you know, legislative action taken to improve the current ignition interlock law.
How would we improve it if you had your way?
Well, we had our way. You know, again, we support Representative Richards, Assembly Bill 738, and we understand there's been a proposal that's been kicked around to the Department of Transportation as well that would make it more of an option for a first-time offender to go on an interlock at a 0.08 blood alcohol level, and make it an option in the sense that an offender could immediately go on an interlock upon arrest if they wanted to, drive wherever they want to as well, just safe and sober. And then that would just be, instead of having a temporary license after an OWI arrest, you would just have an interlock restricted license. And states like Nebraska are utilizing this approach, and they have seen compliance with the interlock law increase significantly. And this way, this might maybe gain the alcohol industry's sign of at least not opposing it, because it would be more optional. But we'll have to see. And this might be something that we're just running a little low on time for this year to push out.
But. Now, as we get ready to listen to some news and get updated there, I do want to ask you one question. What about the penalties on the books in Wisconsin? Do you think they're enough to deter drunk drivers?
Well, again, drunk driving is a crime, period. And the majority of people who cause drunk driving crashes in Wisconsin have no prior convictions on their record. So, a first offense, that could equate to someone killing somebody. So drunk driving should be treated as a crime. Now, the legislative will to do that is probably very, well, just seeing what happened this year, it's a tough mountain to climb. So one compromise would be putting that offender on an ignition interlock instead for 6 months, which essentially has the same penalties as a misdemeanor, as it costs about $400 to $500 to that offender to use that device.
And I'm going to jump in. We'll hit pause on the conversation, come back in just a bit. We're talking to Frank Harris of MAD about why the group rated Wisconsin so poorly in its efforts to prevent drunk driving.
And we want to hear from you. What do you think Wisconsin should do to prevent drunk driving? You can let us know at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org.
We're continuing our discussion with Frank Harris of Mothers Against Drunk Driving about why the group rated Wisconsin so poorly for drunk driving prevention.
We're taking your calls now as well. What do you think Wisconsin should do to prevent drunk driving? What do you think about sobriety checkpoints or ignition interlocks? Why do you think Wisconsin has such high rates of drunk driving? You can call in and let us know at 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. You can also send us an email at talk@wpr.org.
And we're going to go right to the phones and take a call from Kevin joining us from Janesville. Hi, Kevin.
Hi, good afternoon.
Hello, what do you think?
Mike, well, I would be in favor of sobriety checkpoints, but more importantly, why can't the ignition interlocks be made standard equipment on all U.S.-sold vehicles like seatbelts have come to be?
Okay, Kevin, thank you so much for your call. And Frank, what do you say to that?
Well, again, Matt supports interlocks for those convicted of drunk driving, but as part of our campaign to eliminate drunk driving launched in 2006, one aspect of our campaign calls for the support of advanced technology that will one day unobtrusively and seamlessly and passively detect if a driver is at a 0.08 level or not before their car starts. And if somebody's at a 0.08 level, their car won't start. And right now, Matt is cheerleaders on this project between the auto manufacturers and NHTSA. It's called the DADS program. That's currently just started a 6-year of an agreement here. And this technology, it's not too far off where it will be an option on new vehicles for people to purchase, that if you're at a 0.08, your car won't start. And essentially, this could decriminalize drunk driving. This could put an end to drunk driving because drunk driving will be a non-factor.
So people can police themselves in that case.
Well, essentially, they can. And people can find out more information on this at DADSS.org. Essentially, this will turn cars into the cure and one day eliminate drunk driving, which, costs about $128 billion a year to citizens in the United States. And this is called the DADS Project, and there's a lot of support for this bill on Capitol Hill from the alcohol industry onto traffic safety groups like AAA, like MAD. So, you know, this has a very real option to one day eliminate drunk driving, hopefully in my lifetime.
There was a statistic that MAD has used to show the need for drunken driving prevention, and it estimates that a first-time person convicted of OWI has driven drunk at least 80 times prior to being arrested. So that's 80 times driving drunk before they get stopped. That's an incredible number. Can you talk about how you came up with that?
Well, that number is from the CDC, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. And, you know, we've talked with researchers because we used to say 87 times, but that stat was a bit outdated. So this stat is based off of data from the CDC, which, you know, glad to forward along. But, you know, on average, it takes an offender 80 times before they're actually caught to be arrested and go through the process. But that's just kind of points to the importance that, again, you know, there needs to be proper deterrence of drunk driving, and the way to do that is to have high-visibility law enforcement activities like saturation patrols, which Wisconsin does, and sobriety checkpoints to deter people from driving drunk in the first place.
Let's go back to the phones now. We've got some folks waiting to talk to you. First, we have Larry from Winter. Hi, Larry.
Hi. Yes, my comment is regarding the checkpoints. I've experienced it twice over in Minnesota, and it isn't a minor detour from your day. It takes anywhere up to 20 minutes to go through these things, depending on how crowded they are. But my main objection is the fact that it's illegal to do this. It's a case where you have to actually prove that you're innocent of a crime.
Larry,
nowhere else.
Uh-huh, go ahead. Larry, are you there? Nope, I guess we lost him. Well, I'm curious if you, Frank, could tell me about the sobriety checkpoints. I haven't been through one, as Larry has. Is he right? It takes 20 minutes. Could you talk about what happens at a sobriety checkpoint?
Well, it depends on the sobriety checkpoint that you go through. But typically cars, they're picked out systematically. So law enforcement will pick out every fifth car, every sixth car, and these are typically set up in an approved fashion where they're legal in the state, and they'll just ask the drinker if they've been drinking, and if there's noticeable alcohol on their breath, then they can go through the process of a sobriety test. But it's done in a systematic way, so that at a sobriety checkpoint, you just don't go after somebody, like, you know, a car full of kids, for example. That would be against the rules of a sobriety checkpoint. And the goal of a sobriety checkpoint is, again, a deterrence, so that sobriety checkpoints, Matt believes, should be well publicized, that so that people can find other ways to get home after a night of drinking. And just be noted that Matt has no issue with people 21 and older consuming alcohol. It's just the best game plan is always to plan ahead.
What about Larry's point that it doesn't seem constitutional to him?
Well, according to Michigan v. Seitz from 1990, ruled by the Supreme Court, ruled that sobriety checkpoints are constitutional. And currently 38 states do allow for sobriety checkpoints. Now, Minnesota actually doesn't allow for sobriety checkpoints anymore. And that's but in Wisconsin's actually one of three states where all it would take is legislative action to legalize sobriety checkpoints again. And those other nine states where checkpoints are illegal would take legislative action and a statewide referendum.
Let's get in
so they are illegal.
All right, let's get in one more caller. Ben joining us from Riley. Hi, Ben.
Hi. I was calling to say, you know, I think what we're dealing with here is more of a cultural problem than something that more laws is going to fix, because making something more illegal doesn't generally do anything if you've got an enforcement problem, and I think that's what we've got. I live next door to a tavern, and I've tried to call in, you know, obvious cases of drunk driving, and I've been told by dispatchers to mind my own business. It's not something that's going to be as simple as, you know, stop everybody on the road or stop every fifth person on the road. I agree with the last caller. That's no matter what a court says, I think that's a clear violation of people's constitutional rights for the same reason he said. But
I'm just going to jump
why
in.
Why can't we address this at the point, that it's a problem.
All right, so you're talking about an enforcement problem. And so, Frank, could you talk about that in our last minute here? Do we have an enforcement problem? And how optimistic are you that Wisconsin will move up in MADS rankings?
Well, hopefully, you know, I think it's going to be tough to pass checkpoints, obviously, in a state like Wisconsin. But Wisconsin law enforcement, they are teaming up with the local, all different agencies and local counties through task forces to do high visibility saturation patrols. And that's what law enforcement should do to enforce the current laws on the books. But when the current laws on the books are so confusing and so antiquated, there needs to be an update so that they're made more effective, so that offenders are having the proper repercussions for violating the public's trust and driving drunk. And Matt believes one way to do that is to make sure that anybody who wants to drive legally after an OWI can only do so with going on an interlock for at least 6 months. I mean, this has a benefit to the offender in teaching sober driving behavior and a benefit to the public by ensuring that that offender is driving sober.
Well, Frank, thank you so much for joining us today.
Okay. Thank you.
That was Frank Harris, State Legislative Affairs Manager for Mothers Against Drunk Driving. He was with us to talk about what Wisconsin can do to better prevent drunk driving.